Hey everyone, welcome to the Behind the Scenes podcast. I'm Jeremy.
And I'm Audrey.
And on this podcast, we share the messy, honest, unfiltered, and not so curated parts of our life.
Think of this podcast as a bunch of bloopers with some truth bombs sprinkled throughout.
That's right. We're going to be taking you behind the scenes of our daily routines, our social media feeds, and what you may or may not have seen on TV.
We're going to be talking relationships, family, faith, business, basically whatever we are learning about, fighting about, or laughing about lately.
We're going to be sharing our daily life, our struggles, successes, and our roses and thorns from each week.
And we don't want this podcast to just be about us, so we're also going to go behind the scenes with some of the people who inspire us the most.
We hope this podcast feels like you're joining us for a campfire.
Come hang out. Everyone, today's episode of Behind the Scenes podcast, we have Mark and Jamie Nato on the podcast.
And funny, funny people.
Jamie, if you guys don't follow Jamie Nato on Instagram, she's among my top five favorite people to follow because she's absolutely freaking hilarious. And I discovered her from the oils community.
Yeah.
And we've been connected and got to know each other through Young Living and all that. But also, I've just loved following her for humor, comedic relief.
Yeah, she's funny.
And
Audrey's always like leaning over on the couch, like laughing.
Just Jerry, like, and so is Jeremy.
Well, once
Jeremy
you show me,
It's not just girls, guys. Like, she's
that being hilarious. Said, her and her husband Nato have
kind of a crazy story. Redemption and hope, and we know that it's going to encourage you guys. And I think just being people that are like they really value humor and laughing and all of that. They've been through some really hard, serious stuff. And I think they just have some good insight.
They're very honest and real. And where Mark and Jamie, or where a lot of people wouldn't talk about stuff, Mark and Jamie have made it a point to. And so you're going to hear a lot of stuff in this episode that not a lot of people talk about. So hope you enjoy it and find it useful. Here's our conversation with two of the funniest people we know, Mark and Jamie.
Jamie and Mark Nato, we are very excited to have you guys on the podcast today. Thank you guys so much for joining.
Yeah, we're excited to be here.
What is up?
Yes. So Jamie and I have connected through the world of essential oils, and that's kind of how I came to follow her, but also just really love following Jamie because A, she's freaking hilarious. And Mark too. Mark's always in the stories. Yeah. Jared and I are always cracking up laughing. Like one of my favorite people to follow online. And B, you're also like you're really hilarious, but you also are really you have a lot of depth
really
and
real.
Meaning and really real and share really hard things, but through very creative, fresh perspective. And I think it's really just a lot of things that you share are really good and encouraging, and you're a really great writer. And so, anyways, I know you guys have been really vulnerable about your own story and struggles within marriage online and on social media. But we wanted to have you guys on the podcast to talk about your love story as a whole, the challenges, you know, the peaks and the valleys of it. And so, you know, first of all, just give us a little glimpse of who you guys are, where you live. I know I intro'd you a little bit, but like, tell us what you do, where you live, and who you guys are.
Gosh, thanks for that intro. I feel like if you could follow me around and just say that in my
Right, just sit on your shoulder. No,
I don't ask for much.
It would give me a break from having to do that. It'd
be really nice. Yes.
Oh my gosh.
We live in Kansas City, so just Midwesterners, and we have four kiddos. Been married for like about a number.
It'll be 14 years.
14
wow.
years.
Nice.
So basically,
feels like 50
in the best way.
In a great way.
Yeah,
I pinched him to say that. but yeah, so we just have lived 1,000 lives. I feel like in that 14 years, we've changed careers, we've moved, we've seen so much heartache and joy in all that time. But so it's been wild. It's actually been a really wild ride. But I will say, we have not been bored. I don't know what you mean.
Yeah, it's been, I mean, I'd say if you look at our lives now, it's, I'd say that we're in a season that I think neither of us ever would have dreamt. Having four amazing kiddos, getting to work together daily. I feel like this year has been the year of me constantly telling Jamie how much she's my best friend, which is corny and hilarious, but we just, we spend so much time together.
Yeah. And true,
you know, and it's like a lot of couples get to work together all the time, but they don't always genuinely love each other. So, you know, it's been an amazing ride and, we're hanging on.
Yeah, yeah. NATO used to work for corporate America, so we didn't have as much freedom that like that we do now. So that's been really exciting and different. And also like quite the transition, just figuring out roles and how to not kill each other.
Did you guys always kind of have this in the back of your mind, thought, dream, call it an aspiration or vision of wanting to work together one day? Or was it something that kind of just... one day you guys woke up and you're like,
maybe we can do this.
Maybe we could do this. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I would say no. You know, I worked in the corporate world, was in,
what did you do?
Yeah. I was in medical device sales and I'd done it for about 12 years and it was an amazing career. Yeah. Loved it. Thought I would die / retire doing it. But then as the
I feel like, that should have been reversed.
Everyone should get a corporate job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then, you know, five or so years ago, Jamie started the Essential Oil Young Living deal, and which I thought was a really cute hobby.
Yeah. Dude.
Sorry.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just kind of blew up. And that, the financial freedom that kind of started in that avenue allowed me to take a step back and realize that my identity wasn't in my career. It wasn't in what I provided or how much I brought in. But that my identity was so much more than that. So I think that was probably about 2-3 years ago. That was the beginning of a huge transition and us really starting to dream and look at what it would be like to run alongside each other.
Yeah.
especially just for our family. So,
yeah.
So what is, I'm kind of curious right now, what does that kind of look like practically in your guys' day-to-day? You know, what are kind of, run us through your day. Like, what's kind of the morning look like, if you will? You know, who watches kids?
I know chuckling because we are very different morning people.
Yeah.
If you could just picture me in the morning, it's the grumpy cat. scene with like the umbrella and the rain is falling on the grumpy cat. The grumpy cat is soggy and angry.
Yeah.
That is kind of the picture of me. And so I will be asleep until I'll wake up and work in my bed at 8:30.
Yeah, we don't see Jamie often in the morning. Mm-hmm. And I am a morning person. So
okay, so you've got the car packed for the day, the lemonade brewed and
oh yeah. I've got my robe on, my house slippers, my newspaper. Yeah. Kids have been fed breakfast. They're dressed for school.
Like a hot breakfast. Like he has run a marathon
vacuumed by my face.
Like has run a marathon.
I've made the bed around Jamie.
He's made the bed around me.
Her morning beverage has a straw. It's right next to her on the nightstand.
Oh,
like,
man.
Right now. So I don't want to deal with life. Listen, if you catch me before 10 a.m., it's not going to be my best self. That's all I'm saying. No,
yeah, okay. Yeah.
So I kind of hold down the mornings, which I love because for how many years I was out the door by
36.
So it's been an amazing, like, redemptive season of just, like, getting to enjoy those moments with my kids and taking them to school.
Yeah, family time.
And I already did that. I like years and years and years of like, I was so happy to pass the morning routine. And actually, I got kicked out of the morning routine.
Jamie's not allowed.
Ever so gently because I messed up their vibe. Like, I messed
Guys, I love this dynamic.
Like, she'll come down and she'll start trying to help.
Like,
and it really
vitamins.
Just messes it up. So, like, she'll ask to leave. Or kids will see her come down and be like, what are you doing?
I'm like, guys, let's not do this right now. Enjoy me. Enjoy me.
Love
me. And they are so, they love that. They love being bossed to love.
That is funny.
No, so I work in my bed, really. And NATO is already running errands. He likes to be really active. He's running around. He's I don't even know. What do you do?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know,
exactly.
So I like kind of basically sorry, I'm being instructed to point my face towards the mic.
Yes.
There we go.
So I'll get kids out the door and then I'll do office work. I help out a lot with the admin stuff with the oil business.
Yeah.
A few of the other businesses we have. And then we recently purchased a lake house that we have set up as a business for retreats. So that's been a big deal.
Love that.
We just finished remodeling that. And then right as we finished remodeling that, we, for some amazing reason, bought a coffee shop. So that's been...
What?
Oh, wow.
Wait, I didn't know that.
Yeah, surprise. What? Yeah, it's just as surprising to us. So I like your reaction because that's how I feel in my heart.
We're still processing
the reality while we're renovating it.
But how'd that happen?
Here's what I'll say about
that. I don't know.
We're not sure. We just say yes and figure it out later. But
sounds familiar.
I think, you know, like when you said, did you and Nato like ever think we'll do businesses together? We'll work together. And there are so many things about our life right now that we never dreamed for ourselves that like God has given us. And our brains were too small. Like our minds were too small to even understand what was coming for us if we would just like be obedient and let go of what we thought our life should look like.
Yeah.
And it's so much better than what we had planned. I mean, Nato had planned to work for corporate America until he dies. I planned on, you know, doing the mom thing, which is great and was fine, but I would have never realized the part of me that likes to, you know, is really thrives in business and is a good business person. I would have never known any of that had we stuck to our plans and not been open to what God had for us. So this coffee shop is like an extension of kind of that.
Yeah.
It's
almost like once it came, if you're anything, maybe, because I know this is how we feel. We, now that we've kind of done it and tasted it, it's like we can't really imagine doing anything else.
No.
Yeah.
It's like, no. You can't go back.
It's like we're working together. We're figuring this out. We're a team, and it's going to be the best thing ever.
And it's hard, but it's
hard.
Yeah.
So worth it. And
so worth it.
You know, just the other day we were like, you know, it's been a grind. It hasn't been easy. It's hard. You know, trying to start businesses up, and it was like we were able to take a step back and be like, at least we're getting to like bust our butt and kill ourselves for something we love.
Yeah.
For something we feel called to do, not for like someone else who could care less about
us.
Totally.
Yeah, you're going to work somewhere. Like,
exactly.
You're going to work.
Yeah.
Plus, I mean, the tools and resources that are available now, specifically where we live, you know, here in America, it's just, it's crazy.
Yeah,
it's just crazy. And we're so fortunate. And it's just any tool, the tools are out there. And I think culture in America specifically has already begun that shift of people realizing, oh wow, there was this model that was set up post-industrial revolution and the reins are being taken off that nowadays, just with all the tools that are available and all these husbands and wives kind of, and maybe it's because we're in it and we see, because I mean, I feel like we know like close to 20 husband-wife teams working together and crushing it. It's hard, but it's possible.
Seth Godin has a thing on this, but he says like there's truly never been a better time to start a business that you feel passionate about. There's truly never been a time in history when the resources are so right.
Yeah.
Our mindsets, I think, are right. And as much as people make fun of like millennials and all that, we probably have our foot in and out of that. We're like on the older end of that, but you know, we want something better. We want something more, and we don't want to settle. And so it just feels like the season and the time and the space is right for that, for everyone. Like if you want
totally.
Yep.
There's a way to get it.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
Love that.
And I think the crazy thing is like, there are so many people who do want it, but because of fear, because of those lies that they hear in regards to like, no, you need to work a 9-to-5. No, it needs to look like this.
Mm-hmm.
Like people aren't willing to take the chance. And it's like taking that first step is just so huge. Like 3 years ago, before I had considered transitioning out of the corporate world, like all these seeds were already in me. you know, the desire to be an entrepreneur, the desire to invest in people and communities, and even the desire to work alongside my wife.
Yeah.
I think we just typically shoo those away or are ashamed of them or stuff them and say, no, you know, that's against the norm. I shouldn't be thinking this. I shouldn't desire this.
Right.
But like God put those in us. Like those are seeds from God. And those are things that he's planted in us so that we could eventually find and steward.
Totally. So love that.
Yeah. Jeremy and I resonate with that so much. Yeah,
we're like shaking our heads over here.
People.
Definitely. Love that. So this is so good. We kind of went with that. Let's back up just a little bit. And I want to share first, I want to know it as well, but I think everyone would be interested in just to hear the Sparks notes, catch us up on your love story, how you met, what dating looked like, and then the process to ultimately marriage and where you're at now. Doesn't need to take forever. I know you both have your opinion or your perspectives on it, but
feel free to correct each other throughout the Sparks notes.
Before, when I saw this question, I was like, Nato, you need to give the cliff notes because Nato will be like, it was a long, dark, cold, I'm like, okay, bud. So the correction has already begun.
Don't laugh at that. That's not
funny. The correction has already begun.
LOL. We met doing a ministry. I was working for a church and we had worked together side by side, kind of in this bigger group of probably like 12 of our age group, working with the youths and
like middle school and high school kids.
Yeah. And had worked together for a long time, but never talked to each other really. And listen, my observation on Nato was that when we needed volunteers, the volunteers he brought were ladies. And I was like, okay.
To back it up, my background was that I was in nursing school. I'm a male nurse, which is my background. So that was all I was hanging out with.
But I didn't realize that. Yes, I just was like, playa. But But then, you know, nothing crazy. I didn't think anything crazy had happened. I did not like him when he approached me. I actually was like,
I was actually looking at my buddies in the group, wondering who was going to end up dating her. And I think for me, like I just was initially in a season of like not looking to date anybody.
You were a newer,
I was a new Christian. It was like Jesus and serving the kids. That's all I care about.
Jesus.
That's
so good.
I got the flu. Listen, I got the flu and he and my other buddy brought over,
you like brought her a Gatorade, and I was like, why are we bringing this chick a Gatorade?
I was so sick and I had no makeup on. I look like
she looked hot
Satan and
like literally she had a temperature.
Wow, dad jokes are like raging right now. And I still didn't like, I was like, thank you for the Gatorade. I'm going to go vomit again. And then you left.
But in that moment, like she caught my eye and I knew that she, in that moment, I realized like, hey, this is, she's an attractive woman who loves the Lord. Like
with the flu.
And I was a young Christian, but like, I like literally prayed about it, did the whole thing. And then I think like 2 months later, like, did the whole like, hey, I've been praying about you.
Well, I was
so
like,
awkward.
And I would have like loved to even just know that he was like, he didn't even look in my direction. I'm like, you could have dropped a hint, brother. I mean, like he wouldn't even like shake my
hand. I didn't want to be a weasel about it.
Well, I mean, you got to drop some hint. Anyway, I was so caught off guard that I said, yes, we can go on a date. But I truly was like, I'm going to call him in the morning and be like, no, we can't go on a date. We don't even know each other. This is weird.
Needless to say, two months later, we were engaged.
It's true.
4 months later, we were married.
Yeah. Wow.
And 2 weeks after that, we got pregnant.
I don't understand.
Life changes. I mean,
full throttle.
Yeah.
We that's literally, insane. Which is hilarious because that's kind of our life.
That's literally that's our been our life theme.
And now here we are 14 years later. It's been a piece of cake.
Yeah. Got it all figured out.
Okay.
Wow. So what a story.
I love that. And, you know, obviously I want to get to the 14 years later part because there's a lot between then and where you guys are at now. Mm-hmm. And I know like you guys have been pretty transparent about some of the struggles that you've been through in your marriage. And just the redemption that God has brought to your marriage. And I think a lot a lot of our listeners can probably resonate with the struggles that you guys have gone through and would be so encouraged to hear how you guys worked through some of them. So, you know, whatever you guys feel comfortable sharing, like, we don't want to put you on the spot too much, but just, you know, are there things, can you guys talk a little bit about like the struggles that you guys have had in your marriage and how you guys worked through them, you know, in that process?
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Mister.
So we've been married 14 years total, but 10 years ago, which is crazy to think, which seems, I mean, it's been how many, it feels it's been a lifetime. I had an affair, which was something I think as a young believer just assumed that I was immune to, which mm-hmm. is hilarious. And I think a lot of it was the fact that I didn't understand the gospel in the way I do now, and the way God's like shown me about the gospel through this process or what happened 10 years ago. But I just thought I was immune to it. I thought as a man, I would never like cross that line because mm-hmm. I was a Christian. Like, mm-hmm. yeah, Jesus yeah. died on the cross for me. And I receive that. I accept that. I believe that. Now go act, say, do, be a Christian versus like living second to second mm-hmm. the reality of the gospel and the need for the blood and the body. Right. Mm-hmm. So 10 years ago, I end up having an affair. And it totally caught Jamie off guard, combined with, you know, obviously our pace of life was crazy with jobs, family, kiddos. Our oldest was two and a half. And then we had just had our second Lila, who is maybe 6 months old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, it was
there was just so much going on. And we were both Christians, and I grew up in the church, and I think we thought, I'm a Christian, he's a Christian, so yeah. we're going to come together, and like, we are going to be amazing for the Lord, and nothing bad is going to happen to us. Just no concept of suffering, no concept.
We thought we were awesome. Like, we led Bible studies, we volunteered at church, we appeared to be like the all-star Christian couple, you know?
Mm. Yeah. We don't want to toot our own horn, but we were A+ Christians. So
yeah.
No, we just were not, we didn't have the skills, I don't even think, to face what was coming our way. We had not prepared for it. We did not have conversations like we do now. There was no talk of like, there was no real honest moments. I mean, we were honest as in day to day, but there was no real like, hey, are you being tempted in any way? Or like, what's going on with you? Like, how's your heart? Like, what is your relationship with the Lord? Like, you know, these conversations aren't happening because we both just think we are okay. Mm-hmm. And we even had, I mean, he had accountability. There were things that were set up that, like, if you were trying to affair-proof your marriage or whatever, like, we were living that life. There was mm-hmm. nothing. I would have said we had a good marriage, truly, until, like, the end where I was like, something's wrong. And I just, that something was wrong. And I would tell anyone who would listen, like, hey, this is happening. Something is off and I can't figure it out. It feels like he's having an affair, but it's with his job. Like, I was using that language, and our friends just couldn't believe it. Like, they were like, yeah, he's just getting his career started. He's
like, the people, friends would justify it. Like, oh, it's, you know, it's really hard to start a new business.
Yeah.
And NATO would never do that. Like, I mean, but the reality is like NATO would, we all would, you know, like there's not a NATO would never, we're all broken, we're all human, like that's in all of us, which is, you know, the flip side to the need for the cross, you know. So
before marriage, we would have never said, like,
no,
we wouldn't have been able to be that honest with ourselves, and we had no one guiding us in this like vulnerability either, like, hey, you know that you are fully capable of having an affair, like no one ever said that.
Yeah.
Thank you. Hey friends, taking a quick episode break to tell you about our book, A Love Letter Life, which just recently hit the New York Times bestseller list. We are so excited and wanted to read to you guys a review from one of our readers. We absolutely love reading your reviews on Amazon and on social media. They mean so much to us and our encouragement to other people to hopefully help them get this book in their hands so that it can encourage and give them hope in their own love stories. So wanted to read you guys this review. It's from Harmony. She says, "Hi friends, okay, I have been raving about this book to anyone and everyone for weeks. I'm sure you've probably seen it in my stories. I truly believe it is a necessity for anyone who wants not just a good marriage, but a sanctified one. It doesn't matter if you're single, dating, engaged, newly married, or in your 50th year of marriage, this will make a difference in your story if you allow it. Honestly, you don't even have to be Christian. Success principles are the same everywhere, including faith in marriage. I just went through it a second time to take notes because it is worth it. I wish so badly that the 16-year-old me had a copy of this. It would have changed everything. But honestly, it was written for such a time as this, and it is still changing my life. I know it sounds dramatic, but I'm just being honest. I can promise you that our sons and daughters will read this one day to prepare them for a successful relationship and marriage, and to see us as an example. I was so convicted while reading this, and I am challenging myself to live out what I've learned, and I hope you do too." Thank you so much for that review. And if you haven't bought your copy of A Love Letter Life yet, you can do it anywhere books are sold, on Amazon, on Audible, at your local bookstore. And we hope that it encourages you wherever you're at in your love story.
This is like, I mean, an extremely needed conversation, I think, because it's what you just said. It's not like nobody ever said that, like, hey, you're capable of doing this.
Right.
And, you know, it, like, nobody ever sets out to have an affair.
It's the
byproduct of a series of events that are seemingly possibly insignificant, maybe. And so this is good. Nato, I want to ask, like, how did, like, post affair and it coming to the light, how did you process the shame, the guilt, just being in the circle you ran in? Like, what are the steps you took moving forward? And then ultimately, how did you allow yourself, because I struggle with this as well, opening up my heart and it just with vulnerable conversations and stuff, like, how did that process look?
Yeah. God broke down my walls. You know, like, I wasn't a very emotional guy. I wasn't in reality a super transparent guy. Mm-hmm. And it took God breaking me down through this process of, like, peeling my fingers away from all of these idols that I had created over the X amount of years of my life, right? Mm-hmm. And so God bringing me through that, like, he literally would reveal to me, like, okay, like, your reputation, you know, all these things that
identity
I thought,
and
my identity
work.
And work,
money,
my identity,
yeah.
And
mm-hmm. providing,
you know, what you look like and how you look and what you do and how you do it. Like, God literally walked me through this process of realizing, like, none of that matters. Mm-hmm. And, like, if you continue to pursue those things, like, you're gonna die.
And the mm-hmm. fact is, he did continue to pursue those things, and it was so painful to watch him get stripped away of all this stuff. You know, he thought, I'll be 90% honest, but I'll keep this other 10%. Then the other 10% would come out, and, you know, it was devastating because he really didn't think that he could be that honest and people would still love him.
Yeah.
So I think the process of just watching the Lord say, you can be that honest and I will still love you. Mm-hmm. You know, just finding your identity. It was terrible. I mean, it sounds like easier than it was when we say it, but it was really devastating there for a bit.
But yeah, but like God had literally, like, taken me to the point to where I was able to accept that, like, if I lost my wife, if I lost my children, if I lost my job, if I lost everything, I would still be okay if I had him. Like that literally was where I had to go for me to be able to experience the freedom of him, you know, like, okay, like now I can
and to
pursue
change.
My wife and to change. Like now I can pursue my wife in the way I need to. Now I can be the father to my kids that I need to. Now I can do my job in a way that glorifies God because I see him and only him. And he's the only thing I need. Like, I mean, it was painful, but like, to now 10 years later look back and be thankful for that, like it makes no sense, but it also makes so much sense, you know?
yeah
because can you imagine if you didn't, you kept the you on were honest about the 10 and not about the 90, and then now you are into marriage 14 or whatever.
Exactly.
Years. It wouldn't work. You got to go all in on that.
Yeah.
And the beauty of it is that, you know, you talked about the shame, like initially the first, however many years, like there's no way you're not reminded of something like that. Something you've done, the pain, we're public about it. Our friends know, our family knows. Mm-hmm. I mean, my job knew what happened. Like it all hit the fan.
Wow.
And like, it's hard not to wake up and be reminded of it every hour, every minute, every second. And there is shame initially, but you have to work yourself through. It's like, you're exercising. It's like, okay, here's the shame. It's coming. But who am I? What has God done for me?
Yeah.
And how do I sit in that and remind myself? And it, like, if I had to do that 100 times a day, I'd have to do it. But then over time, over the years, the beauty of it is that that reminder has gone from shame to like such joy, because now I get to, now it's reminding me because I'm here. I get to take my kids to school in the morning. I get to wake up next to Jamie in the mornings. I get to put my kids to bed now. Like it's such a beautiful shift.
Crazy from redemption. Shame
to joy.
Right. Even with my bad breath.
And it's the same
memory. Still is joyful.
I mean, I like to tell Jamie in the mornings, let's just look at each other. We don't need to talk.
Don't talk, because you are breathing fire.
Yeah.
That's okay. So, you know, I have to ask, because Jamie, like, I can't imagine what the moment of discovering that, and I don't know what this process was for you guys. Like, if you were immediately like, we are going to try to make this work. Like that was that your attitude, or were you like, nope, this is going to end? Or were you just like, I don't know.
My dad's an attorney, so I'm going to make your life miserable. Actually, I was not kind. The spirit of the Lord was not inside of me at that time. I was so mad. I was shocked. And so I just found like text messages that looked like they were supposed to be to me, like the familiarity and all that. It looked like it was supposed to be to me, but it had someone else's name on it. And it was just so shocking. So I didn't know how to place it. I immediately just told him to pack up his things, to pack up the kids' things. And that
I would say goodbye to them.
And I meant it. I meant that say goodbye in the longest term way possible. I didn't want to be with him. He had made my life pretty miserable for like that last month, a couple months leading up to that. And I was finally like, you made me feel so crazy and you lied to me so much. And this is all making sense. So now I'm going to make you pay. Was my first attitude. And I went to my parents' house and my dad was like, we'll take care of you. You're young, you can start over. You know, everyone's just mad and sad. And he didn't come clean. He got caught. So it's very different when we counsel people, especially like, okay, did he get caught or did he come to you with repentant heart and confess.
Yeah.
NATO was not sad.
Yeah, and I think the reality there is like when you get caught, I mean,
defense.
And like it was like I went into like, okay, how do I fix this? Like, what do I need to say?
Damage
what do
control.
I need to do?
How do I, whatever?
And God would not, he just wouldn't let me get away with it. I mean,
He
took it away from me, the ability to try to fix it, which I'm so thankful for.
Yeah, but during that, we were the first time we were separated. It was a week, and I the Lord had just really dealt with me tenderly and gently on forgiveness. And he, I think, held up the sun in some regards. Like the amount of work that he did in my heart that week, I swear, was like 1,000 years. Mm-hmm. And so just working through the gospel, like very tangibly, I would say, you know, God, I don't want to forgive him. He doesn't deserve forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And the verse that popped up to me and was on like my chalkboard in the house at the time was, you know, be kind and tenderhearted towards one another, forgiving each other like God did for you. Mm-hmm. And it begged the question, how did God forgive me? And then the other verse that popped into my head was, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Mm-hmm. So while God said, now I want you to forgive like that, like that is, you are your husband, and mm-hmm. I want you to forgive him like I forgive you. I mean, it, wow. It rocked my world. The wow. gospel became very real to me. And you know, when you're given so much grace and forgiveness yourself, it's really hard to turn around and strangle someone for $5. Like it's really hard to turn around and be like, well, since I was set free and I got out of this
death sentence,
you know, I'm going to make you pay. So I couldn't, I actually couldn't. And that was like supernatural. That's not my strength. Mm-hmm. Obviously I was like really mean and angry, but God did a miracle.
And the beauty of that was that through that, God used to show me a tangible way of his forgiveness and love for me, because I couldn't comprehend it yet. So then, you know, here I saw my wife saying, I forgive you. I love you. I want to make this work. And I'm like, I'm still trying to get my legs under me and figure which way is up. And I'm like looking at this woman and thinking like, I've done like the most horrible thing to you. And you're saying that you still love me and you want to take me back. Like, and then I realized, okay, now what, compare that to God's love, and his, like it just blew my mind away. It was a tangible example of the gospel. It was amazing.
That is so powerful.
So when you guys, Jamie, when you made that choice to basically, you know, move in that supernaturally towards forgiveness, did you tell your community, friends, family that you were doing that? And were they helpful in that journey? Did you have people walking alongside you?
You know,
did counseling, did you guys do, you know, any of that kind of stuff, or like
everything?
Okay. So the people, so mostly people weren't like, were they like supportive of your decision, whatever you chose to do?
There's going to be every kind. And I think for good reason. You're going to have the people that everyone's also mad at him, okay? He lied to them too. They're working through their hurt. So you're going to have some people saying, hey, biblically you have an out, which is true. I did. Right. And you're going to have people saying like, hey, I know this seems impossible, but we are cheering you guys on and we want this to work. And fight when you can't fight for you. Mm-hmm. But I needed those both. It is not either or. I needed both, like the freedom to say, if I want out of this, I can get out. And then I needed people to say, but if you're going to stay, we're going to fight with you. Mm-hmm. And so equally valuable, I think, they're in such an intense, painful moment like that. There's probably more that are saying, hey, this is biblically, you can get out. Once a cheater, always a cheater. So I think I would say it was disproportionate in the amount of people who said, this is your free pass, get out while you're still young.
Right.
But when I decided, you know, hey, I'm going to do this, my community said then, even my pastors, they said, what do you want to do? It wasn't like you have to stay.
Yeah, Trisha, their pastors were amazing.
They were amazing. Yeah. They were like, what do you want to do? What have you decided to do? And when I said, I want to try and make this work, and I don't know how, they said, we will fully support you in whatever that so looks good. Like. And they did. I mean, they really moved into helping me with literally the trash taking out, the dinner, the meals. Girls came over and cleaned my house. I mean, like people
were
watching my kids.
Guys came over and played with
men came over and played with our toddler, which I just, you know, he wanted to be like thrown around and like And I was like trying to stay alive. It was a victory if I took a shower. I wasn't like seeing my kids, you know, it was a real rough time. And so it really took like 40 people stepping into NATO's role to make it work. So I would say community is so important, which is why I hate when women are like, you know, I'm going through this and I'm keeping it a secret so it doesn't embarrass him. And I'm like, this is literally keeping you the victim and keeping you in a prison. Yeah.
You're enabling. I mean,
Yeah, that's really...
Like, no one knows really, that you're in your neediest time of your life, that you're literally surviving on...
It's such a test... such a testament to just the way the Christian walk was designed to be lived out, you know, in community with people, with the body, really. We're supposed to be one, and that's just so cool that you experienced that and can now sing the praises of it in your own life.
And if I'm just, you know, Jamie, if there is somebody listening right now that has either just now discovered this, or they are that person that you just described where they maybe did discover it a while ago but haven't sought any community out, what do you tell that what would you tell that person? How would you encourage that wife in that?
My biggest thing that I tell people to do is you don't have to go tell the internet your whole life story. You don't need to. I think people look at me and think, well, I can't do that. And the concept that I want them to know is just simply use your voice. You do not have to tell 37 people or 1,000 people on the internet, but you do have to tell someone. It is not okay to try and muster through this yourself. It's truly not. And for a couple reasons, the person who did this, you know, they have no account. They have zero accountability. They get to continue to live their life like nothing happened. And then the person suffering suffers even further because they must remain silent and keep the weight of that person's sin on them. So it's a really egregious thing, I think, when the spouse is made to be silent. It's just they've already been hurt so bad, and now there you have to be hurt even further in the grieving process. So I would say just use your voice, tell your pastor, tell your best friend, talk, tell somebody.
That's so
good. You guys, we're not done, but thanks for sharing that. I think it's a conversation that is extraordinarily relevant and extremely encouraging in a day where a lot of people don't know how to talk about that, or you know, haven't historically had the platforms and the voice to share it. So with that being said, how do you guys work through conflict? You know, obviously not that heavy, but like what are your guys' kind of systems? Well, this is maybe a two-part question. What are your kind of systems for working through conflict today? And then B, what kind of rhythms, if any, have you guys set up in your marriage to be more intentional, more creative, and more faithful?
How do we deal with conflict? Yeah. So, I mean, we are all cards on the table couple.
Right.
We don't sweep things under the rug. I mean, if I feel like Jamie's in a mood or giving me body language that is not,
sweet
and unicornish. I mean, I speak up. I ask, hey, are you doing okay? What's up? You know, like, should we talk about it? I mean, I think we over communicate, probably too much sometimes, but I'd rather over communicate than under communicate.
For like, sure. Just really, I think we're radically pretty honest with each other. Like, I feel free to be like, hey, how are your eyeballs? Like, what are you looking at? What are we doing?
Right.
Like, we talk about that, and I don't feel like that's off the table. I will ask, like, hey, I mean, you guys, down to he is a man, okay, and he has eyeballs, and if I see him if I see him looking, you know, at a girl, or like we're walking by, and I will be like, hey, that I just saw you. You looked too long, or whatever. I mean, that's. We talk about that stuff.
Yeah.
And it's not in like a super like you know, slap way. It's like, hey, bud, how are we doing?
Yeah.
Or
and for me to be able to be like, okay, to be thankful that I have a wife who's going to hold me to a standard and call me out so that I can like take a step back, reevaluate what's going on in my heart and like, and ask for forgiveness and repent. And, and you know, like that's what it takes. It like acting like it never happens, acting like you're never tempted, doesn't do any good for your heart. Like it hardens your heart. So being transparent about it, confessing it, dialoguing with other men about it as far as accountability and dialoguing with your spouse, I think is helpful.
There's never like a, I'm sorry, we have a home phone. It's
exciting. Yeah, well, I was just going to say,
I was just going to say, bless your heart.
Literally, is this 1990? I told you we were 90 years old. I told you. Yeah. I think like being honest is the hardest part of like any, it still hurts to ask the question because I cringe a little bit like, hey, how are you doing in like your relationships or how are you doing it with your eyes or what's, you know, I still like he might say he's not doing very good. Mm-hmm. So it's still a very difficult question and to ask, but it's difficult to be honest, but we are committed to creating that space for each other to do that. And when I'm like overly paranoid or whatever, Nato will say things to me like, hey, I just want you to know I'm not going anywhere. Like my paranoia is coming from a place of hurt. And so he literally just talks to that hurt. Hey,
wow,
am here and I'm not doing anything and we are going to get old together. Like I'm not going anywhere. And that stuff is like rich. That's deep and stuff we would have missed if we had gone our own way, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Communication that is audaciously thorough is what's coming to my mind. And that is just so healthy, so good.
Even if like, I think we even like say this somewhere in our book, like, you know, the momentary honesty might sting, but the long-term lies are infectious. Like the sting is, it hurts for a second, but it goes away, you know, like, but
and the it can't infectious fester,
thing, right? Exactly. Like
if he the is infectiousness looking at something, can, guess what just got brought to the light?
Totally.
Where, you know, the honesty is and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Like, we are just bringing, you know, you're bringing God back into that. You're bringing the light back into those dark corners of our heart because we're so wayward.
Yeah. So, I think, go ahead.
No, go on, Neo.
No, I think some would say like, hey, like that happened 10 years ago. You're fine now. Like you should be able, like you don't need to do, you know, why do you feel like you need to go above and beyond? Like, I think the reality to it is like, there are real life consequences to sin, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying like, this is my penance, but because I love Jamie and I value our marriage and what, and the healing and the miracle God has done there, like, I'm willing to go above and beyond to show Jamie that I'm committed to her.
Mm-hmm. You know?
I mean, just the other day, you know, I've been using this iPad for work, officing like away from home. And it came up like, hey, like, are you looking at anything on there? And I went on to make sure like we had our accountability thing set up on there. And like, you know, I took a picture of it and sent it to her, not because I was like, hey, I'm afraid of my wife, but like, because I know I sense that that's like worrying her. Like I want to like speak to that and speak truth to that and reassure her, you know, like I'm here. I'm not going
anywhere. Yeah. So he screenshotted like the restrictions thing on it and it's just comforting. There's nothing to hide.
Yeah.
And when he's not defensive, you know, that's true honesty. When he is defensive, I think, gosh, are you hiding something? You know?
Yeah.
That's so good.
You know, that's super good to hear. First of all, what is that service?
It was X3. It's X3 Watch.
Like Net Nanny.
Yeah. Just for like internet protection on tablets, phones, all that stuff.
That's super good. And I mean, I think those practical tips are like, are so necessary because a lot of people call those, you know, a restriction of freedom. And Nato, you were saying you're getting that, like people are saying like, oh, that was 10 years ago. Like, why are you doing this? But it's actually through those that we that you've found freedom.
Exactly.
It brings more freedom to your marriage.
And do you trust each other at this point? Like, yes, but you know, we say this in our book, I think it's preparing for the, or in our chapter, Preparing for the Promise, we have this whole talk about trust and that ultimately it takes more than trust to protect something.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of
people, you can say, I trust you. I just trust you.
I just trust you. Like, oh, don't they trust you? Like, you shouldn't need to do that. It's like, yeah, I totally trust them, but it takes more than trust to protect something.
We don't even trust, you know, we don't trust ourselves.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
I know the depth of my heart and I just know how wayward I am.
Exactly.
And he does too. And we recognize that that is happening. And so our kids even don't even say Google. They're like, oh, let me look on Net Nanny. Like, it's just, they like our whole reality. Is
no
just
way.
Like,
that's amazing.
All about their reality is that there's bad stuff on the internet. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, we all want to look at it. So in light of that, here are your restrictions, friends. You know,
you guys
like,
love that.
Yeah. I love that.
That's super good. And it's kind of funny. I mean, maybe not funny, but it's, you guys are so funny. And
but like you've gone through some like very hard, serious,
yeah,
like thinking and processing and experiences and, you know, aside from this, other trials in your life and raising kids and work and just, you know, I just think like it's really cool to see, or I'm curious like what the role of humor plays in your marriage, just because I feel like that has to be in some way, shape or form, like a form of just medicine for everything, you know, like, because you guys just
have
this.
If you don't laugh, you cry, but it's true. Like there are so many weird things that happen. And especially if you have more and more children, like the things that they say and do and just embarrass you daily, like you just have to laugh. Like it's either really funny or you take yourself really, you know, you seriously.
Yeah.
And it's unpleasant to be around when people think they're like, you know, everything is hanging on this moment. So we laugh.
Yeah. And I don't know if it's because of what we walked through 10 years ago, like when we started, I said, you know, it feels like 50 years.
Yeah.
It really does in an amazing way. Like we feel like we know each other so well that I don't know. We're just so happy. Like we're just so thankful. Like it could be, I should be the guy who only sees my kids every other weekend. And we should only have two of the four kids we have.
Mm.
But because of this miracle, like it's just, life is so good and it's so short. Mm. And I don't know, like
so rich. Like we have like shed our fair share of tears together. And it's so rich to like, we also just laugh a lot. Like it's very full and it's so rich. And even Nato was saying like, and people could say, yeah, of course you're thankful she took you back, like whatever. But really, I mean, I'm so thankful to have a man that supports me, is my yes guy first. I mean, he's my first cheerleader, male cheerleader. He's my first, like, you know, person who's like, you can do it. And my best friend. And so like the things that I would have lost, you know, we had two more babies after all that.
Yeah.
The life that we would have lost by choosing our own way, I think it would not have been as rich as what we have now. It's, we've seen the worst of each other. Really. We've seen the worst of each other and we still choose to love each other. And I think you can't get that with a one night stand. You just can't.
No.
You can't get that in a year. Like
the
richness of time and hardship and suffering together and laughing, like it's stuff that is too rich to get from, you know, pornography or something that you get sucked into on TV. It's more than money. It's just a picture, I think, of God's, you know, we are his bride. It's a picture of the gospel to see all these things about each other and still say, I choose you. I call you friend, you know?
Yeah. So beautiful. I love that. Well, if you guys could go and back and tell yourselves one thing before you got married, or maybe like even before all of this happened, what would you guys tell yourselves? Maybe you guys each have a different answer, but what would that be?
I think, I mean, I thought about that, and I think the I would tell myself that it's going to be the hardest thing you will ever have to do, but it is so worth it. Mm. And it just, it's going to get hard, but you just need to press through and it's so worth it.
Mm. Yeah. I was so stupid getting married. I don't even know what I was thinking.
And the amazing thing is like we,
so
sweet.
Thank you. I have the gift of encouragement. I meant, you know, you say I do, and you literally have no idea what you're saying I do.
Nor do you have an idea who it is you're marrying.
You do. Like,
For sure.
You know, you think you know who you're marrying, but then, like, you just, it's crazy.
I think I would have said, like, it's called, you know, when people say fighting for your marriage, I've always heard that. And I think I would have said, hey, it's going to be a fight, but I promise you, like, God is going to carry you through. Like, he is faithful. He's going to get you through it.
Mm. Yeah. You guys, this is like, this is, and I mean this, this is a huge encouragement. And I want you guys to know that you guys are lights and beacons, being willing to share this and encourage a generation of Jesus followers to pursue a meaningful marriage and pursue it at all costs. So
yes,
it's been so good talking to you guys. And actually, I want to, have you guys read, what keeps popping into my brain is the phrase, which is also my favorite book, A Severe Mercy.
Huh.
Have you guys?
I think we have that on our shelf.
Yeah. It's my favorite book. I read it once a year. It's actually the book that, so I've read it 8 times.
Wow.
Yeah, it's the book that convinced me to pursue Audrey the way I did. It's the book that's kind of inspired us/me to pursue a love story worth writing about one day. And praise the Lord, we actually got to write it.
It's really, the book is just a few chapters of our love story, but still.
Well, yeah, no. But the book inspired me time ago to ask myself the question, what kind of story am I writing? Mm-hmm. And I think you guys are writing an amazing story. Mm-hmm. But this whole thing that happened 10 years ago, in a sense, was your guys's a severe mercy. It was your mercy to bring you into true fellowship with the Lord
and each other.
And it's, to your point, Nato, it's so, so worth it. It's the most difficult thing ever, but it's so, so, so worth it. And I think you guys are living that really, really well. We love following your story, watching you online. Jamie, I'm stoked that Audrey gets to work with you. Not daily, but, you know,
in a roundabout way.
In a roundabout way within the sphere or the community. Yes. But that's how we're all connected. So, you know, it's cool. But I just wanted to share that. So if you guys haven't read that book, it's
well,
a good one.
You know, I've been saying this a lot lately too, but like, it feels like a stop sign, but it's really your catapult. And if people would see their suffering as not like, woe is me, which it does, it's awful sometimes. And I get that part. But
yeah.
What you think that appears to be like the dead end, the stop sign, the cliff, you know, this is when God does his best work. And our worst story of our life, like really, I thought this is the most devastating thing that can happen. God used our weakness for such good, his greatness, and for such help for others. And so, and really it became like my platform, really. I mean, you would think like the thing that was supposed to shut us down became actually my platform to speak.
Isn't it funny how the kingdom of God's backwards? It's like,
oh, it's amazing.
It's amazing. Well, you guys, we're kind of on our last little short quick fire questions. And we've actually already done the first one. What is your morning routine?
We talked about
that earlier.
The grumpy cat already. So let's move
on.
The
grumpy cat is the morning routine.
We ask all of our guests what their morning routine is. But the second question is, what's the best life hack that you have ever discovered?
Could be serious. Could be funny.
It could be literally anything.
Nato's going to roll his eyes at serious. Me. Because I really think my best life hack, and it's taken me forever to get this, but is taking care of my gut. Like, I'm the person at the party that's going to be like,
yes,
let's talk about your gut.
Really?
I finally started caring about what I was eating, basically.
Yeah.
And took out a bunch of stuff that I shouldn't be, like sugar. And I'm actually like fully living my life. So it's not like a hack or anything, but I would say It totally is. Me this long to care.
Yeah.
I care about my diet, and yeah. I don't know what your life hack is.
I mean, I'd say my best life hack is probably watching Jamie care about her diet. Yeah. I'd say that's my best life hack right now, is watching Jamie dominate her life hack.
There we go.
Because you know, yeah. So you're just living through me.
Great. Exactly.
That is funny.
He legit like, doesn't have an answer. Osmosis. You guys are like waiting for his real answer.
I know.
Right? It's like, that's oh, it.
It's there. It's coming.
I get the shortcut is via there. Jamie.
The best life hack is having my kids get their uniforms out and ready the night before.
Ooh, yeah.
So that the morning goes smoothly.
Yeah. Oh,
that's good. That's a good one.
NATO with the morning tips.
Yeah.
You got that morning routine.
Got the curlers in my hair. Everything hits the site.
The robe.
Yeah. Well, guys, last question here. We ask everyone just to get to know you a little bit more, as if we haven't already. What is your rose and thorn of the week? Rose and thorn, meaning
they're all tied up into one. We are learning to run a brick and mortar
coffee shop. Yeah. A rose and a thorn. Man, yeah.
I want to
talk.
It's
like the rose of like, this is amazing. We bought the shop. We're saying yes. And
we're
then
investing
like,
in the community, investing in the people, creating an amazing space. But then there's so many.
It's like you hire someone, you're like pumped about someone that you're going to hire and like, oh, just kidding. I changed my mind. I don't want to work. You guys.
Or just like,
cool.
Oh
my gosh. It's great.
The ins and outs of figuring out inventory and coffee beans, and we're doing ice cream and merchandise. It's not like just an online, you know, business. It's like a brick and mortar. You know, we're renovating the space, tables, chair. I mean, it's like, okay, I'm ready. I think I'm ready to tap out, but I'm not tapping out.
We can't.
Sure. Good for you guys. That's so exciting, though.
We'd love to talk to you guys about that.
We'll talk about it at convention.
Yeah, maybe at convention we'll talk about that. But
yeah, let's hang out.
We'll hang.
Yeah.
Okay, well, tell everyone where they can find you guys online in the interwebs.
I mean, I used to blog, but I don't anymore because it's too much work. But I do Instagram. So Jamie Nato on Instagram, no E, Jamie Nato. And Nato is an old man.
I'm kind
so
of a
Facebook.
I'm a, I'm not really on social media.
He's a person to person.
Via Jamie's That's Instagram, good. Though, you
yeah,
will
Jamie
see
Nato's
Nato.
Jamie Nato's the one.
I film him doing like.
She films me not knowing.
Yes. And you guys need to follow Jamie on Instagram because you will die of laughter.
Yeah. I feel
even
like,
men listening, like Jeremy doesn't
Jamie,
follow
yeah.
a lot of girls. But
well, you know he's safe because I'm not letting.
Yeah. We have a friend who...
There's a lot of turtlenecks.
Yeah, a lot of turtlenecks out there.
We have a friend who challenged our community in Bend a few years ago. Someone asked, or I think I actually asked him. I can't remember how it went down, but I was like, hey, like, oh yeah, did you see this on Audrey's story? And he goes, oh no, I didn't. I go, oh really? He goes, yeah, I don't follow Audrey. I'm like, wait, what? He goes, no, I don't follow any women. I'm like, oh wow. And he goes, yeah, it was just something I decided was the easiest thing I could do immediately to help protect my marriage,
oh
my eyes.
And I'll tell you a life hack too on that for like people just trying to be like really vigilant. We never text message. Like I would never text message a male.
Yep.
Even about like,
vice versa without
oh, you forgot
the other
your sweater. We need more coffee cup. Like never. It's we always CC the other.
Yep. Guys, that is so good.
Or emails.
Yeah.
And it's just is so refreshing. And other people, I will, or maybe I know Nato is really super busy. I will CC the guy I'm trying to text with and his wife together, and just like out of respect and just who we are.
Yeah. Love that.
That's
amazing. And as believers, we are supposed to look different. We're supposed to live differently, and and the world's going to call it weird, but they're also going to respect it, I think, at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't really care. You know, I'm like, I don't care what you think about me.
We've
gotten to the point where it's like, I'm actually a weirdo. Like, go watch my
totally.
Or give her some help. But we care about our marriage so much that you kind of just stop caring what other people think and you do what you need to do to like make your marriage amazing.
Yeah. When you value your marriage more than anything else, you're willing to sacrifice for it and go above and beyond because you genuinely care about it.
Yeah.
It means something to you. So.
Well, you guys, this has been an absolute pleasure talking with you. Thank you for being so open, honest, vulnerable, and helpful.
Thank you, guys. You guys are awesome.
We'll have to do this again sometime.
All right, guys.
Sad we didn't have anything to talk about.
I know, nothing. Right? We never will have anything to talk about ever. So, just no.
All right, you guys. We appreciate you.
Bye, guys.
Thank you. See you guys.
Thank you. See ya.
Mark and Jamie Nato. And we just loved our conversation with them. I hope that you guys are encouraged, especially if you've gone through anything or are going through anything similar to what they have been through. I promise you guys, this is a very serious conversation, but they are so funny to follow on social media. Yeah. So it's kind of a contradiction to this episode, but yeah. I'm so grateful for their honesty, their vulnerability, and their willingness to just share their story when they didn't have to. They totally could have kept it
as they
to
said,
themselves.
It's still hard, but I mean, they've done redemption. I mean, it's been redemptioned or redeemed rather.
Right.
And it's just
let the redeemed Lord say so.
Yes. A beautiful, beautiful story. What do we got going on, babe?
So wanted to let you guys know about something for all of you who have purchased your copy of A Love Letter Life.
Yes.
We wanted to gift you guys 15% off our shop, Always More, as well as 15% off the Marriage Journal. So how you claim that 15% off is you go to therolloffs.com. And you put in your order number, and then we will send you an email with the discount codes and some other fun stuff as well. So therolloffs.com, put in your order number on the bottom of the page, and we'll be sending you an email with some discount codes.